Around this time of year, we'd normally celebrate harvest. And in years gone by, we've gone to town on this, really decorated the church, and lots of people have been involved. And people have gone out and asked supermarkets to give items for the harvest produce. People have bought stuff that they've grown in their own gardens, and they brought something out of their own cupboards. It's one of the festivals that's firmly embedded in the church's calendar, along with Christmas, Easter and Pentecost. And I'm sure you have memories going back to Harvest Festival, going back to when you were at school. And whilst there have been changes over the years, this is the first year that we as a church haven't held a Harvest Festival. Our reading this morning gives the roots of all the Harvest Thanksgiving services that we've celebrated during our lifetime. God led the Israelites out of captivity and instructed them, once they'd grown their first crop in the new land, to bring the first fruits of that crop to God as a thank offering for their rescue, for their new land, and for their harvest. This sets a precedence for not only our harvest, but also all our giving to God. Place the first fruits of the harvest in a basket and take it to the place of worship. To bring a thank offering, not of what's left over, not bring the produce that's not wanted or can't be used elsewhere, but the first fruits. A mark of trust that in giving these first fruits to God, that he will ensure that the harvest continues and provides for all our needs. This establishes the principle for giving to God. To bring to God offerings that are not an afterthought. A last minute rummage through our purses or pockets to find some spare change. But that our giving is thought out, prayed through and set aside for God, and given thankfully for all God has done for us. Just like the Israelites, we too have been rescued. We have entered a new kingdom and have experienced God's provision for us. This year has been so different for everyone, including farmers. The weather has been unusual, having very dry, warm, sunny spring, and then a very wet summer. This was great for some crops like apples and berries, but not so good for crops like wheat and potatoes. In addition to the battle with the weather, the farmer had the problem of bringing the harvest in because the workforce were affected by COVID restrictions. Many who travel from abroad to find work in the fields picking various crops at this time of year are unable to do so. And that's affecting all those crops that need to be hand-picked. This year has been a challenging one for us individually, for our society, for our church, for our country, and for the world as a whole. Climate change, Brexit, COVID-19 are all big issues that bring uncertainty and disruption to our lives, to our society and to our country. But we still have much to be thankful for. We are blessed in so many ways and have known God's love and protection, his peace and assurance. We have his promises to rely on that he is here. He is with us, always. That we journey into an unknown and uncharted territory, he goes before us to show us the way. He goes with us so we have fellowship, and he goes behind us to protect us. We can give thanks and praise to his name for all the good gifts he has given us. And there's another reason that it is good for us to give thanks. Verse 11 reads, "Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you will rejoice in all the good things the Lord God has given you and your household." Giving thanks for God's provision, protection and rescue is an act of witness to those who are not yet Christians, to those foreigners amongst us, who don't belong to the kingdom, who don't yet know that Jesus died on the cross to rescue them, so that they too may know God's forgiveness, God's love, God's saving grace. We're not able to hold our traditional harvest festival, but on the 25th of October, we are going to hold Cap Sunday. And so what I'm going to propose we do is place a box next to the offering plate next week at the back of the room. And it will be there for the next few weeks. And in that you may place, if you would like to, a can or a packet of food as a thank offering in place of a harvest gift. But please don't feel obliged to bring something. Don't give something begrudgingly or out of a sense of duty. Don't find that old tin lurking in the back of the cupboard that you no longer want, or the leftover things that you can no longer use. Please take note of this passage. Bringing the first fruits means to bring the best of what we have. A sacrifice is to give up something we want with a thankful heart, not to give away something we don't want or need. The food we collect will be used to help CAP clients and the food bank, that those who receive it may rejoice in God for the way in which he has blessed his people. We're going to hear a song now about how we are blessed to bless others. We're blessed to bless a world in pieces. We are loved to love where love is not. We are changed to be the change you promised. We are freed to be your hands, O God. Bring heaven to earth, Lord. Bring peace. We're going to pray. Father, we pray. So in thinking about Thanksgiving today, I came across this passage. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. I guess there's a lot in this passage that would give a preacher license for a good telling off that Trevor seems to think is the essence of a good sermon that we're here to be told of. I don't think that is true. I hope that people don't go away from services that I've led feeling told off. This is an opportunity for God to speak to us through his word, and an opportunity for us to hear what God wants to say to us. But there's a lot of things in there, isn't there, that are sort of like encouraging us to have a go at one another. But I love that one that says, have patience with everyone. And I am one of those people that need you to have a lot of patience with. I am sure I am a very great irritant to a lot of people. And so I thank you for the patience that you've shown me. Paul is seeking to encourage the readers to support one another, to live in peace together, and to have patience with one another. Currently, people are stressed and are ready to take that stress out on the very first person who crosses their path. Patience is a great tool to have in your armoury at that moment. The ability not to react immediately, but to give a kind and calm response can do much to restore peace and harmony. But the reason I chose this passage was that call of Paul to give thanks in all circumstances. This is great wisdom and something we all need to remember at the moment. It's easy, isn't it, to give thanks when things are going well, when we have all we need, when the sun is shining, and as the saying goes, God is in his heaven and all is well with the world. How much harder is it to give thanks when things are going far from well? We find ourselves in the worst of circumstances. And I'm sure you've all experienced those dark times, which are part of life, when our circumstances or the circumstances of those we love are difficult. Bill has a saying, the day started badly and then fell away. How much harder is it to give thanks in these circumstances? But for Paul's readers, they were facing persecution for their faith, imprisonment, and even death. And he is telling them to give thanks in all circumstances. How hard is that when you face even death? Paul would argue that we have much to thank God for. For even if we lose everything we own, even if we lose everyone we love, even if we face the most dangerous circumstances, and even if we lose our very lives, we have something that no one can take away from us. Something that even death itself cannot deny us. We have eternal life, forgiveness and reconciliation with God. Not because of anything we have done, but because what Jesus has done for us, laying down his life as a sacrifice in payment for our sins, that we may go free. So because we've accepted that Jesus died in our place, we are forgiven, restored, and accepted by God. And that's something that no one can take away from us, that no circumstance can separate us from. So even if there's nothing else, we definitely have something to be thankful for. There's an old chorus, and I do confess I am very old, that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Then you'll see what God has done. And I'm sure a lot of you are too young in this room to remember that one. But it is a good maxim to remember each of our blessings. When everything seems dark and you're struggling to be thankful, counting your blessings is a good place to start. COVID-19 seems to have stripped away so much from us as a community. The ability to meet together, to worship, to fellowship, to share together over food, to meet with one another in one another's homes. The things that make us a distinct, caring community. Yet we still have much to be thankful for. In our first reading, the Israelites were instructed, then go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at that time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. And this wasn't just done the first time that they bought those first fruits. They said the same thing every year. Because it is in remembering the amazing things that God has done in our lives that we become thankful for all God has done and confident of all that he will do in the future. Giving thanks in all circumstances becomes second nature when we consider all of God's goodness and love towards us. I'm just going to pause there and go back to that reading again for a moment. Then go to that place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. Where is that place? That's not here, is it? This isn't where God's chosen to dwell. God's chosen to dwell within us. So we can always go to that place that God has chosen to dwell in his name. Because he's with us always. And he's here. He's dwelling within us. Jesus instructed us to remember him, to take communion together and to give thanks for bread and wine, his body and blood given for each one of us. When we remember all his love, thanksgiving is a natural response. On the 18th of October, we will celebrate communion together, but it will be different to how we are used to doing it. We will ask you to bring with you some bread from home and some juice to drink as wine so that we can comply with the COVID restrictions, and then we'll share together and remember Jesus' sacrifice for us and give thanks. And although it will be different, we will be doing it together and Jesus will be here. So, strange as it might seem, we will be doing what Jesus commanded in breaking bread and eating together. So I hope that you are able to come on the 18th, and if you do, please try to remember to bring that bread and that juice with you so that we can share together. I'm going to close the service now with our final